This is The Staircase by Christopher Gideon, who has the full ownership of this story. Warning: sleep paralysis, car crash, and paranormal entities. July 5th, 2010. I don't really know what to say. I'm at a loss for words. Last week, I was in a bad car crash. The doctor said that the accident had caused some brain injuries and that it's a miracle that I'm not dead. They also said that I needed to stay on top of things, especially when it came to memory. I'm guess I'm supposed to be recording these audio files for 2 months. 2 whole months. But the doctor said that this would be good for me. I guess that means I'm going to be recording for a while. It doesn't have to be everything that I do, just one or two things that happen to me each day. So I guess day one is going to be my personal information. My name is James Hunter. I live in Cheboygan, Michigan. My house isn't massive, but it's not exactly tiny. It's basically just the upstairs and the basement. I have an attic, but I haven't ever been up there. I guess one of my favorite things about this house is the fact that it's secluded. I live out in the country, so no one ever goes past here. That makes it the perfect spot for murder. Which, I'm not a murderer, I guess should be included. The truth is, I got this house for a really low cost because someone was murdered here a year before I moved in. I don't really know much about the person's death, but I know that the body was found on the old wooden staircase that leads from the basement to the garage. Anyways, a young couple moved into the house 6 months later and left a month afterwards when they found the basement steps had been broken in. They thought it was a ghost who had broken them. The couple found out later that the steps were old and rotten and that the husband fell through while he was sleepwalking. But they still refused to move back in. I'm a huge fan of the paranormal, which is why I moved here. I saw my grandmother's ghost appear at the foot of my bed once when I was 11 years old. Ever since then, I've been trying to see another spirit. So far, I've had no luck. However, I'm hopeful that this house will bring me the paranormal experience I so desperately crave. In fact, when I moved here on June 12th of this year, I spent my entire first night examining that supposedly haunted staircase. It's actually quite interesting, as there apparently used to be access to the area underneath them for storage, but that was closed off when the staircase was remodeled. Now it's surrounded by walls of concrete, and I can't even see through to the area underneath. The vertical wooden planks that connect to the horizontal ones fill up all the open space. Sorry, I know you don't want to hear about some dumb ghost enthusiast talk about a creaky old staircase. I just hope that there is some actual paranormal activity going on here. I've been living here for a month now, and so far, there's nothing. Anyways, I think that's plenty for one day. I'm going to bed now. Talk to you tomorrow. I'm talking to this recorder like it's a person. I really am going insane. Note to self, if you named this device, I'm calling the men in the white jackets. July 16th, 2010. After 12 boring entries, I finally have something worth talking about. Something happened to me last night, something extraordinary. I was lying in bed, trying to fall asleep, when I heard something coming from the basement beneath my room. It sounded like something heavy scraping across the cement floor. Excited, I jumped out of bed, grabbed the flashlight from my kitchen table, and rushed down the staircase to the basement. Naturally, the first thing I did was stand on the wooden staircase. As I scanned the entire room, nothing seemed to be out of place. "Hello?" I asked the seemingly darkened room. "Is someone there?" I waited for a while, but I received no response. "Can I talk to whoever is here? I don't want to hurt you. Can you tell me your name?" Again, I was answered once more with silence. Curious as to what I heard move, I grabbed the biggest thing in my basement, which was the dryer, and pulled it away from the wall. It made a loud scraping noise, but it wasn't quite like what I had heard. I then tried the same thing with the washing machine, then the workbench, and then the treadmill, but none of these sounded right. Just different pitches, just not same tone. The workbench sounded most like what I thought I had heard, but it still didn't seem right, just a bit off. I stayed up until 3:30 this morning searching for answers, but there was still no evidence that a ghost was involved. July 17th, 2010. Call me crazy if you want. Maybe I am crazy. I still have no clue who these comments are directed at. I guess I'll just assume that the doctor will end up listening to these entries. Anyways, I called a psychic today. Yeah, I know what you're probably thinking. Doesn't he know that psychics just scam your money? Well, I'm not so sure. The psychic's name was Lori Marvin. She came to the house early this morning to scan for spiritual activity. What a surprise. She knew that something very dark had happened on the steps in the basement. I swear I didn't tell her anything went down there. She said that she was getting a strong reading from a spirit named Carlton as she stood on the wooden staircase leading to the garage, and that's all she could tell me. I asked if he meant me any harm, but she told me that she still didn't know. Still, Carlton is something to go on. After Miss Marvin left, I decided that it was time for me to hit the internet and see if anyone named Carlton had died recently in Sheboygan. As it turns out, Carlton Mueller was the name of the man who was murdered by Tyler Frank, his business partner, on those wooden stairs last July 23rd, 2010. I'm sorry that I haven't been making any new entries lately. To tell the truth, I've been so busy with my new job as Sheboygan's new newspaper editor that I haven't had enough time. I figured that writing in newspapers was similar enough to the voice files and that it would be okay. My doctor, however, told me yesterday that it was not, and that these files are for my own benefit. He said that I'm supposed to be recording to help me remember my life. I guess it's a little true. Ever since my entry on the 19th about going fishing with Jerry, my memory's been a little bit foggy. I guess I'll have to remember to record more often. Oh well, I sincerely apologize to myself. I accept. Hooray, cake and beer all around. July 29th, 2010. Oh my god, I'm so happy I could cry. Actually, I'll be honest, I did cry while I was recording this and just before. But I don't even care how that makes me sound. I have seen the most amazing thing in my entire life. I was lying in my bed last night when I realized that I had left the bathroom light on. So I rolled over and got out. I opened up my bedroom door and looked down the hallway. What I actually saw almost made me scream. It was a grown man. He was standing on the other end of the hallway, just staring at my bedroom door. The light from the bathroom illuminated his face beautifully. He had a tall head with messy, short, black hair and light bags under his eyes, giving him a tired, rugged look. "Hello?" I asked nervously. The man didn't answer. I waited for a moment. "Are you Carlton?" I forced the words out of my mouth. To my delight, the figure nodded. I was talking to a ghost. I couldn't believe it. Just to make sure I wasn't dreaming, I pinched my arm as hard as I possibly could. The intense pain convinced me that this was real. "How did you die?" I inquired. Of course, I already knew the answer. I just wanted the ghost to speak to me. Sadly, he did not. He simply stared at me with steady, empty eyes. I forced the words out of my mouth. The way that he looked at me forced air out of my lungs, leaving me breathless. I don't know how long Carlton and I stared at each other. It could have only been 10 minutes, but it felt more like an hour. No matter what I asked, Carlton Mueller's ghost would not speak to me. The only response I received from him all night was when he nodded his head to confirm that he was, in fact, Carlton. I finally returned to my bed after bidding the man goodnight. When I woke up this morning, he was gone. August 3rd, 2010. I was starting to get worried that Carlton wouldn't show up again. Every morning that I wake up since I first saw him, I'd find the furniture in the dining room, living room, and basement completely rearranged. I knew that this was Carlton, and I didn't really mind. It's just that I wished he'd show his face again. And he did. Last night, I was sleeping soundly when I heard something move in my room. I woke up and rolled over on my side, expecting to see a chair toppled over, courtesy of my good friend Carlton Mueller. Instead, I saw the ghost himself standing over my bed, staring down into my tired eyes. I nearly screamed, but I didn't want to scare him away, so I quietly whispered, "Hello, Carlton." Carlton didn't react. I asked him if he wanted me to wake up. Once again, he stood in place, unmoving, like a statue. I tried to get him to answer me, but just like on the night of July 28th, he didn't move. Finally, I sighed and rolled over. I have very mixed feelings. On one hand, I'm glad that I saw Carlton again. On the other hand, I definitely did not like the way he stood in the middle of my bedroom, just staring at me while I slept. Who knows how long he was there after I fell asleep? More importantly, what if he stands there every night? Just like last night. More importantly, what if he stands there every night, and last night was just the first time that I saw him? The malicious look in his dark eyes as he stared at me was unsettling, to say the least. August 4th, 2010. I couldn't sleep last night. Yesterday, I thought that I wasn't scared of Carlton. I thought that after a day, I'd have had enough time to get over it. Now, however, I'm pretty sure that I'm intimidated. In fact, intimidated is an understatement. I lay awake in my bed all night long, shaking like crazy. I couldn't stand the thought of waking up and seeing Carlton watching me with such a malevolent glare again. I don't know how Tyler Frank killed Carlton Mueller, but it must have been horrible. That is one annoyed spirit. But I can't keep letting my emotions control me like this. Recording these entries may very well be the only thing keeping me sane after that incident. Which is ironic, since I feel like I am essentially talking to myself. Regardless of whether or not I'm actually insane, I will not let Carlton's presence in my house affect me like this. This is my house, not his. I shouldn't have to leave here just because of a ghost. More importantly, if I let him scare me like this, he will feed on my fear and very likely will do it again. I really don't want him to scare me like that again. However, know this, Carlton. If you try to scare me once more, I will not be afraid. I will not leave my house because of you. August 5th, 2010. Well, this is a good reason to celebrate. It's been a month since I was assigned this project, and that means I only have a month left. I would crack open a bottle of champagne if I wasn't scared to death of going to the basement. Last night, I didn't sleep again. All night, I heard noises coming from the basement. I kept my bedroom door closed and locked, as if ghosts needed to use doors. I don't know what Carlton's doing down there, but it's really annoying. At least I can rely on the fact that as long as he's moving stuff around downstairs, he can't be watching me sleep upstairs. And all night long, I kept hearing that scraping noise over and over and over. That same damn scraping noise. That's another thing. I wish I knew what that was. I've completely rearranged everything in my basement since that first night when I heard Carlton, but nothing makes that specific sound. I just can't figure out what it is. I'm absolutely 100% sure that nothing in my basement makes that noise. So what could it possibly be? August 6th, 2010. So I saw my doctor again yesterday. He said that my head injury might have affected me worse than he originally thought. He said that insomnia might be due to brain damage. I laughed and explained that I've been staying awake because a ghost watches me when I sleep. For some reason, that didn't comfort him. August 14th, 2010. I went downstairs. I finally got the courage to go down into my basement. Of course, I didn't see Carlton. There were no signs that Carlton had ever been down there. As a matter of fact, Everything in the basement was exactly the way that I'd left it when I came upstairs. I was kind of hoping that I would see something out of place, so that I knew what Carlton was moving around down here. Actually, it's kind of odd. Every morning, I still find things in different places than where I left them. However, these occurrences are confined only to my living room, kitchen, dining room, guest bedroom, and bathroom. The basement and my bedroom remain untouched. Odd. Anyways, I'm glad that I went down to the basement. It made me feel safer being in the place I knew to be the source of Carlton's ghost, and yet experiencing nothing paranormal. It was somewhat comforting. I haven't seen Carlton since he woke me up on the night of the 2nd. Maybe he knows that he scared me, and maybe he feels bad because perhaps he didn't mean to. I'm starting to think that Carlton might not be such a bad guy after all. August 21st, 2010. I can't handle this anymore. Every day I sit down at my desk and record whatever it was that I did that day like some lab rat. I feel like a child who's been ordered to color a picture. I am not a damn lab rat or a child. Last night I left my door unlocked. It's been almost 20 days since I saw Carlton in my bedroom, so I thought I might be safe. Dang, why am I so unlucky? I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning and I knew instantly that there was someone standing over me. I slowly rolled over and saw him. But he wasn't standing in the same place. And last time he was in my room, this time he was standing right over my now awake body. He looked different than he had before too. His hair was much messier than I had remembered seeing it on my first night. And his eyes, they made me shudder. They were surrounded by darkness. And the first thought I had maybe when I saw them was, evil. I'd never really considered Carlton evil before last night. Maybe a troublemaker, a creeper, maybe. And a bit mischievous, but not evil. I gasped when I saw him. His reaction didn't change. As usual. Carlton! I nearly shouted at him, remembering to keep my emotional distress to a minimum. I corrected my tone and continued. Why are you here? As I predicted, Carlton didn't reply. Please leave, I said quietly, not breaking eye contact with him. Carlton's eyes widened to a frightening size as his head tilted a little to the left. No, no, I said quickly, sitting up and backing up to the other side of my bed. I didn't mean that you should leave the house. I meant that you should leave my bedroom. Please, I added when Carlton's eyes narrowed and his nostrils flared angrily. Look, I don't want you to leave the house, I insisted as I pinched the bridge of my nose. I want you to stay. Very slowly and deliberately, Carlton moved around my bed to the side that I had crawled to. But, you know, when I'm sleeping, that's my alone time. When the ghost didn't stop staring at me, I scooted back over to the side of my bed I had woken up on. Carlton, please don't hurt me. I've never done anything to harm you. Why would you go after me? Carlton didn't answer. He walked quietly to the foot of my bed and stood there with his usual overseeing attitude. He didn't leave until I fell asleep again. I woke up this morning and found my bedroom door open. I can't live like this for much longer. If I can't get Carlton out of this house, I'm going to have to move out and let someone else deal with him. I locked my bedroom door again last night, and there was no sign of Carlton. I'm never unlocking that door again, as long as I'm asleep. I think Carlton thinks it's my way of welcoming him into my bedroom. I just hope I didn't hurt his feelings. Wait, what am I saying? I hope I didn't hurt the ghost's feelings? That's ridiculous. He came into my home, moved all of my stuff, scared me half to death, and I'm saying that I hope that I didn't hurt his feelings. Forget that. I hope he went home to his ghost mama, cried ghost tears, ate a whole gallon of ghost ice cream, and ended up losing his ghost leg to ghost diabetes. Actually, diabetes is quite serious, except I take that last one back. I don't care what Carlton wants anymore. I want Carlton gone. It's really too bad that he's a ghost, because if he wasn't, I wish he was dead. Then again, I think both Carlton and I would be happier if he was still alive. He wouldn't be annoying me like this. August 28th, 2010. The exterminator came over today to do spraying his bug-killing stuff like he has every month since I moved here. Don't really know what that's about. Just don't want bugs. While he was here, he decided to make my life even more miserable by telling me that I have a termite problem. Why the hell not? I mean, everything else in my life has gone wrong. My house has termites. My life is being tormented by an evil poltergeist. I may or may not have permanent brain damage, and I'm probably going insane because of all of this put together. I want to die. At least, then I'd be able to make someone else's life as horrifying as Carlton has made mine. But wait. I need to get my house fumigated. No, I'm not an idiot. I know that fumigating my house won't kill a ghost. However, it will give me a good reason to move out for a day or two. I'll sleep better than I have in my entire life if I can be sure that I won't wake up with a goddamn ghost standing over me. August 29th, 2010. Ah, sweet relief. I decided to move into my hotel room, a little prematurely. I couldn't be happier. The instant I stepped into my room, I thought, this feels more like home than my own home does. But I only have a few days of this. My house is getting fumigated tomorrow, and the bugman said that I should be able to move back in on August 31st, on Tuesday. But you know what? I might decide to stay here a little longer. It's nice being able to sleep without the worry of Carlton watching me. September 1st, 2010. Today was the most disturbing day of my life. Yet it was even more disturbing than when Carlton tried to attack me. I guess he was trying to attack me? I don't really know. I moved back into my house yesterday and slept in my bed. Of course, I locked my bedroom door. I thought that would keep Carlton out. I woke up again at 3 o'clock this morning. I opened my eyes, slowly afraid of what I would find. However, quite predictably, Carlton was standing next to my bed. I sat up quickly. Carlton, please stay out of my bedroom, I begged, but I quickly realized that Carlton wasn't looking at me. He was looking down at the floor with a sad expression on his face. What? I asked, completely bewildered. When I said this, his head jerked up, and his eyes pointed directly into mine. They seemed different tonight, though. They were just much less hateful. After a moment, Carlton gestured for me to stand up. You want me to come with you? I asked, without answering me. Carlton turned and walked straight through my locked door. I got up quickly and rushed to the door, unlocking it, because ghosts don't need to have a door unlocked. I pulled it open hastily and found Carlton standing just on the other side, staring at me as if he could see right through the door. I jumped, but prevented myself from screaming. Carlton turned around and walked down the hallway to the staircase. It was strange to watch him walk. His feet almost didn't touch the floor, as if he was walking through a pool of neck-high water. Picking up on his urgency, I followed him through the hallway and down the stairs. When Carlton stepped into the basement, I grew wary about following him any further. I had heard some stories that ghosts gain power when they were in places that they were killed. Their zones. What if he wanted to kill me? My curiosity outweighed my caution as I entered the basement. With no hesitation, Carlton walked straight through the basement to the wooden staircase on which he was killed. He stopped right next to it and gestured for me to stand at the base of the first step. I did. Carlton pointed to the third and fourth steps, then gestured towards the ceiling. Am I supposed to, what, lift them up or something? I asked, quite confused. Carlton nodded. I felt stupid doing it, but I tried anyways. To my surprise, as I pulled up on the third and fourth steps to the wooden staircase, they shifted slightly. I looked over at Carlton, who nodded stoically. I gulped, realizing that my mouth was uncomfortably dry. I fixed my grip on the steps and pulled up again. This time, they came off the staircase in one piece with a loud scraping noise. I knew that sound. I knew it so well. I heard it coming from my basement every damn night. I looked inside the hole made from the lack of the third and fourth steps, but I couldn't see anything. Hold on. I said to Carlton, let me go and get my flashlight. I dashed up the stairs, jumping over the hole, grabbed the flashlight from the kitchen table, and ran back down. Carlton was still standing in the exact same place he had been before I left. He pointed inside the hole. I knelt down and shone my flashlight throughout the gaping hole. Inside, I saw a body, a dead body. I gagged and dropped the flashlight. It fell to the floor where it flickered and resumed its regular glow. Forcing myself to control my reflexes, I picked up the flashlight and aimed it at the body. It was a man's body. I saw the face clearly, felt like my entire body was paralyzed. I knew that face. I called the police immediately. They were there within 15 minutes. They investigated my entire house from top to bottom. They even searched the attic. The sergeant, Dale Turner, asked me to give him a statement, so I told him exactly what happened. I woke up at 3 a.m., and there was a ghost at the end of my bed. I said I didn't care if I sounded crazy anymore. He led me down the stairs and into the basement, where he showed me how to lift up the steps. So I did, and I found his body. I swear I didn't kill him.
You found whose body?
Sergeant Turner asked.
The ghost?
Yes, it was the body of Carlton Mueller. I told him, I think his spirit's been trying to communicate with me for a while. I've been seeing his ghost around my house for the past month now, and he moves furniture around really late at night.
Did you say month? The sergeant inquired.
Yeah, I first saw him on July 29th. Ever since then, he just kept showing up.
Mr. Hunter, Sergeant Turner said quietly, this man that you found,
we've been looking for him for about 2 months now, but he's only been dead for a couple of days. Thank you for listening to the recording of The Staircase by Christopher Gideon, who, as previously stated, has full ownership over this story. I hope you've enjoyed.